Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel lesson, the gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. I was in Memphis, Tennessee in the late 1980s, and I was at a sales meeting. The company that I worked for had come out with a new product, and they were pushing it. And what was that new product that they were pushing? ATM cards. Yeah. It's one of those new products, and they were wanting us to push it. You know, they wanted to get it out there because, I was working for Deluxe Check Printers, okay, so the red and black box, you know, when you write your checks and stuff like that, that was the company that I worked for, and so I called on banks, and so banks weren't necessarily thinking of a check printing company to make ATM cards. Well, I had a new bank that was opening up in my territory, and one of the things that we do, so when, you know, some banks have their own designer checks, you know, for themselves, well, we have an art department. So I suggested to this bank here, it's like, well, why don't you just have us come up with some designs, and you guys pick which one you like? And they're like, oh, that's great. It's one less thing that they had to worry about. So they selected one. Sure enough, they bought some cards from us. Now, I wrote a letter to my manager and copied him and some other folks on it, and not too long after that, I saw a letter come out from our regional office there, and it was praising this new idea, giving me credit here for that, and it's like, you guys should start doing it too. Well, I was all excited about that. Here I was, a young guy here, and getting recognition here for a new idea and, you know, for others to use that. Well, my in-laws, well, they happened to be, when I got that letter in the mail, happened to be visiting us. And so I went and told them about it, you know. I have to say, I was kind of bragging on myself. Well, my father-in-law, who, he was a salesman himself. In fact, he was a manager of salesmen. He says to me, he's like, well, John, you know, that's really good. That's fantastic that you did that. But what are you going to do tomorrow? You know, tomorrow, what you did today isn't going to matter. So what are you going to do? Well, that brought me down to earth rather quickly. And that reminded me about what's going on here in our gospel lesson for today. Jesus is wanting to make sure that his disciples are well grounded as well. So let's take a look at what Jesus has to say. Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea, that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Well, Jesus is saying, hey, people, this is life. Temptations to sin. Yeah, they're sure to come along. They're going to come your way. They might be great. They might be small. They're going to be bold. And they're going to be sneaky. But woe to that one who brings temptations to another person, especially the little ones, like what we had up here, children. It would be better for him there to have a millstone. And if you don't know what a millstone is, all right, they used to, back in the day when they were grinding grain, they would have a millstone, two of them, all right, and they put the grain in between them. And these millstones would be several hundred pounds, 400 or 500 pounds each. And Jesus is saying it's better to put one of those around your neck and toss you into the sea than cause someone, especially a child, to sin. Jesus puts it this way, quite frankly, to emphasize how serious sin is. Now, once he has his disciples' attention at this, well, he makes another point. He says, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Pay attention. Jesus is saying, yeah, you need to pay attention to yourself. He's saying here, hey, it's everyone's responsibility here to guide others away from sin. So if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. Rebuking. All right? Guiding others away from sin. That's what rebuking is. And if somebody is sinning against you, then they need to have that pointed out to them. That's the whole essence here that Jesus is pointing out, that it's your responsibility to guide others away from sin. Now, he doesn't ask you to yell at them. Right? He doesn't ask you to say, if somebody sinned against you, to go out there and tell 10 others before you talk to the one who did something to you. He doesn't want you gossiping about it, but rather he wants you to go up to them directly. And if he repents, forgive him. Now, even if he does it a bunch of times and comes back every time saying, I'm sorry, you gotta forgive him every single time, no matter how many times it happens. And so the disciples reply, you gotta be kidding. Really? Well, they didn't actually say it that way, but how did they say it? We know how that's how they were feeling, because they say, increase our faith. Because what you just asked us to do, Jesus, that's really hard. Particularly if you don't care for that person. Right? If they sin against you, it's hard to forgive them. But that's exactly what he's saying that we need to do. They come back saying they're sorry. You forgive. And so they're asking for, Jesus, you need to increase our faith. Help us. And so Jesus says, you know, if you have faith of a mustard seed, you can do some pretty incredible things. You could tell a tree to get up and go run into the sea, and it'll do it. And so the disciples got to be thinking at this point in time, like, yeah, no, that's what we're talking about, Jesus. I want that kind of faith. You need to give me that kind of faith. That's what I want. That's the kind of help I need. But then Jesus goes on and says this. Well, any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and recline at table. Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So also when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants, we have only done what was our duty. Seems like such a strange response to when the disciples said, hey, increase our faith. Jesus is wanting to make sure that they stay well grounded here by saying this. On the surface of things, it sounds like such a harsh thing. It's like a guy's been working all day, and then, you know, you come in and you need to fix supper for me now. Make sure you're properly dressed. And then after I eat, then you can eat. Seems like such a strange thing. But consider the relationship here of the master and the servant. The master, even though it seems rather harsh, but what does the master provide his servant? Master provides job security. The master ensures that his servant has respect amongst his peers because he has a job. He's employed. He also has respect, the respect of his master. Now the question is here, you need to ask yourself, is how many of you have a job where there are multiple responsibilities? Are you not expected to do your job? Do you not get paid for your job? Is it the expectation when you were hired to do the job and the responsibilities that go along with it? Sure, that's what's expected of you. And Jesus is sharing that because he has certain expectations of his disciples. Because such of the life of a disciple is being a servant of Jesus. And so what are the responsibilities of being a servant of Jesus? Well, we are called to love the Lord our God. We are called to love our neighbor. We are called to serve our neighbor. And that also means that at those times when someone sins against you, well, what are we to do? Bit of a hint there. We pray it every Sunday, right? Forgive as we have been forgiven? Yes, indeed, that's what we're to do. But if you think about it, though, Jesus has already done the hard part for us. Jesus earned forgiveness for our trespasses. He did it on the cross. And the expectation is for us that we are to carry our own cross. We too are asked to do the difficult. Sure, it's hard to forgive someone multiple times. But have you ever considered how many times God has forgiven you for the very same sin? Yeah. As servants of the Lord, before we forgive others, what are we to do? We're to rebuke, right? We're to guide others away from sin. So that means then if they're sinning against us, we need to point that out to them. Sometimes they may not even realize that they've done anything wrong. And when you point it out, what happens? They learn. The whole point of what Jesus calls rebuking here is to serve one and only one purpose: to get the other person to repent, to turn back to the Lord. For when they do, they find forgiveness. That's what it's all about. It's all about being in a right relationship with God. And knowing that we are in a right relationship with God is a good thing. It comes with having faith in Jesus. We have a master who has secured a permanent and everlasting place for us in heaven. That is the reward that we receive purely out of God's grace, his love for us. But in the meantime, before that day happens when we're called to be there with the Lord, well, we're still a disciple of Jesus. And at times that can certainly be a challenge. It's going to be hard. Temptations are going to come our way. Temptations for us to sin. And we're also going to be called to point out others where they're sinning against the Lord. And when we do that, there's going to be times in which people are not going to want to hear us telling them that they're doing something wrong. In fact, they may not like us at all for doing that. But nonetheless, it's still a task that is laid out before us. So therefore, during those kinds of times, those bring it down to earth kinds of times, we need to remember whom you serve. Remember, forgiven sinner that you are, remember that with gratitude and joy in your heart. For we who serve Jesus, as challenging as that might be, as rewarding as it might be, we will be commanded to say, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty." But you know, when you say that, your master in heaven, he's going to have a big smile on his face, because he's going to be saying, "You're mine." And when that day comes, he's going to be saying of you, "Well done, good and faithful servant," as he welcomes into your eternal dwellings with him in heaven forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.